The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now I'm joined in studio by our Monday expert, who is Dr. Arthur Cummings, consultant ophthalmic surgeon and medical director at the Wellington Eye Clinic at the Beacon. Arthur, good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Pat. Good morning.
Now, you want to bring us news of a trend, shall we say, where people, instead of opting for laser surgery, which is irreversible, sometimes go for something else. What is that something else?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We find it interesting. It's an interesting psychological phenomena, and maybe it's just a sign of the times, but people want a permanent solution and hence they think about laser or lens replacement to replace their glasses or contact lenses. They're also afraid sometimes of the permanent solution because if they don't like it, they're sort of stuck. So what we're seeing recently is this trend that people are opting when they have two choices and one is permanent and one's reversible, they're opting for the additive reversible option. So for argument's sake, for myopia, instead of doing LASIK or lens replacement, they're thinking of adding a lens called implantable contact lens. And we've never removed one before, but they like the idea that if they didn't like the outcome, they could have it removed.
So explain how that works. It's a contact lens which is, if you like, semi-permanent in your eye.
Yeah, it's permanent. It's permanent until the day you take it off. And for most people, it only comes out at the time when they get cataracts. And then you remove this lens plus the cataract and replace it then with a single intraocular lens. So it's just an interesting phenomenon that people value the reversibility now more than we didn't have it before, I guess. Or we never had the conversation around reversibility, but it's become a bigger issue.
And yet you've never been asked to remove one.
No. And we would tell people that and they'd say, well, that's fine, but I know I have the option of having it moved if I don't like it.
So it's reassurance.
It's reassurance, absolutely.
All right. Now, the questions, as you can predict, are flooding in. Can you explain my scenario to Arthur? I had eye floaters for a year or more in my left eye and eventually went to get it looked at. Next thing I know, I'm being immediately rushed into the Eye and Ear Hospital for emergency surgery on a detached retina. I got a vitrectomy. And had a gas bubble injected into my eye and had to remain on my left side in bed 24/7 for 10 days afterwards so the bubble would float upwards towards the detachment area and force reattachment. That sounds like very complicated stuff.
Yeah, so what happened there is this person had what everyone eventually gets called a PVD, a posterior vitreous detachment. It's a normal process of aging. It happens earlier if you've had previous trauma. It happens earlier if you are particularly short-sighted. And when the jelly detaches, there's normally no consequences. But on the odd occasion, it is still attached to the retina. And instead of detaching, it creates a small little tear. And the retinal tear then leads to a retinal detachment. And the symptoms are new floaters and most times, 98% of the time, also additional light flashes. So these mightn't be a light flash you notice in the day, but going to bed at night when the lights go down, you might say, what was that?
Here's the rest of this. My surgery was deemed a success, but since day one post-surgery, my affected eye has had what I can only describe as a sweet spot. Anything up really close, I cannot see. It's just blurry. And anything beyond, say, 30 centimetres is the same thing. Too blurry to make out. But anything within the sweet spot is absolutely crystal clear. It's almost like I have a magnifying glass. I put it down to a cataract. They told me I would develop as a result of the surgery. But after visiting another ophthalmologist to hopefully get a cataract diagnosis and hopefully treatment, I was told I now have something called epiretinal membrane. I've been referred back to the Eye and Ear, but I'm completely unaware of what treatment I may have to undertake to sort this, assuming I need surgery. One thing is for sure, I don't want to continue with the rest of my life with my current vision issues.
Right, okay, so this is, as you say, it's quite complicated, but it's not uncommon. So first of all, they were right to say that your risk of cataracts increased. That would have been the logical thing. After a vitrectomy, cataracts is more common. In this case, it wasn't that though. It was something called an epiretinal membrane. And for people, when the vitreous detaches spontaneously and naturally, up to 10% may develop this thing called an epiretinal membrane, so spontaneously. And it's almost like a very low-grade scar on the surface of the retina. And the scar tissue comes from the healing property of the retina itself. So it's not new tissue, it's tissue from within the retina. And this little epiretinal membrane can wrinkle the surface of the retina. And what that does then is it wrinkles your vision.
Okay.
And if there's a part that's not wrinkled, it's nice and clear. So the options are threefold. The most common one would be just observing it and monitoring it. The second one would be if the symptoms become worse and the distortion's worse, then a retinal surgeon may consider peeling it off, and that's very successful. So it can be peeled off with the surgery. It's much like a vitrectomy. And once the vitrectomy is concluded, what they do is pick up the little membrane and peel it off the retina. If you're still seeing quite well, they'd be tempted not to do that potentially for fear of causing more harm. And then the third thing that happens, which is also possible, is that the wrinkling gets worse. And if it gets worse, then you get to a point where now the risk-benefit ratio of surgery is, you know, you have more to gain than you have to lose. When you're still seeing quite well, you've got to consider the risk-benefit ratio.
Now, next one, can you ask, Arthur? I'm a 62-year-old man with keratoconus.
Keratoconus,
okay. It's dealt with by piggybacking hard contact lenses. I'd love to get rid of the lenses. Last time I checked, thin cornea made laser surgery difficult. Any of the innovations that could help my eyesight?
Right, so keratoconus is a condition where the cornea is thinner than usual and as a result is bulging. It's a little bit like a balloon that you're inflating and there's a weak spot in the balloon and that part inflates more. So the number one thing to do initially is just to make sure that the cornea is stable. And the way we can stabilize the cornea is by means of cross-linking. But then besides that, there's also the issue of the vision. And these hard lenses are correcting the vision for this person. So there are treatments we can do today, again, that are additive. So laser is a removed subtractive.
Yes.
And for someone who has a thin cornea, the last thing we want to do is make it thinner. So you can do additive tissue. In fact, the corneal tissue is added to the cornea and to bulk it up and to improve the shape. And then you can use laser then just to refine the regularity.
And where do you get the extra corneal tissue?
That's a very good question. It's from an eye bank. So an eye bank is where people get corneas for corneal transplants. And some corneas are deemed not suitable for corneal transplants because they mightn't be crystal clear. But they can be used for this sort of thing where the tissue is added not centrally but to your peripheral cornea.
Are there any rejection issues?
No, that's a great question too. No, not at all. Because this tissue has been decellularized, so no more cells, and irradiated. So it's just pure collagen. So that's called CARES, corneal allergenic intratumoral ring segment. That's worth looking into.
I had shingles in my eye 18 months ago. I've had a couple of flare-ups since then. Would the shingles vaccine help control flare-ups or would it cause more problems, Lasha?
No, I think it would help prevent flare-ups. And there's a very interesting papers that have come out recently that the shingles vaccine may reduce the risk of dementia. So there's quite a strong theory now that dementia may be linked to viruses, specifically the herpes family of viruses. And so the shingles vaccine has a double benefit, if that's the truth, that it prevents dementia, but also prevents flare-ups.
I have a macular hole at the back of my eye. I had a vitrectomy 2 months ago, which did not work. I had a second surgery 2 weeks ago, and my vision is still very distorted. If the second vitrectomy has failed, what are my options?
Right, so the reason it might have failed is twofold. One is that the little hole didn't close, and the second one would be, like we discussed early on, the epiretinal membrane. So you need to speak to the doctor again and just see what your options are. Have a real heart-to-heart and go into whatever depth you need to figure out what your options are. And at some point, I'm a very big fan of second opinions, and I often encourage my own patients to get a second opinion for something controversial or that has more than one option. If at some point you just feel you'd like another opinion, see another retinal specialist and just see what they think about the prognosis.
Can you ask, Arthur, if there's any new treatment available for herpes of the cornea? I have the condition for about 15 years now, treated with mild steroid drop every day to keep it at bay, but no cure or alternative treatment so far. That's from Anita.
Yeah, Anita, herpes of the cornea is just such a difficult condition. So there are five different stages or phases of herpes simplex in the eye. And what you're speaking about now is something called the stromal phase, where the virus is just dormant within your eye and on occasion pops out. And so there is no treatment other than the antiviral drugs, so the oral drugs you take. So they keep the herpes virus repressed. You know, the herpes virus lives in the nerve, so at any time if stress can resurface. And then what the cortisone does, the cortisone drop, the steroid drop, is that keeps the scarring at bay. And you've always got to be careful with how you titrate those two. So if you didn't have any cover of the anti-herpes medication, you might find the steroid triggers a reaction or a reinfection. So normally what we would suggest to people is always having some level of cover from the antiviral medications and then being on a drop that you could sometimes reduce to once a week. But you do whatever you need to do to get the cornea as clear as you can, and then you slowly but surely reduce that drop. Because steroids aren't without their own complications. They increase the pressure, they can cause cataract.
Are there any new treatments in the pipeline for wet macular degeneration, apart from injections, that could possibly cure it? Is there any gene therapy?
So we don't think there are anything that can cure it, but we think there are things that can control it for longer. So there's a lot of work being done at the moment on little implantable inserts or pellets into the eye that might work for up to a year. So now what's happening, instead of an injection every second month, you have a pellet that's working for a whole year. And there's also some work being done on drops that can be used. So there's a lot of progress on getting drops that you put on the surface of your eye that in fact deliver the drug to the back of your eye. So there are things moving along, but for the moment the mainstay remains injections.
I have type 2 diabetes. What can I do to offset the progression of background retinopathy, which was discovered I had late last year?
Right, that's a super question. The number one thing you can do, and for anyone with a diabetes, this is crucially important. The better your control is at the outset of diabetes, the first 5 years that you have diabetes, the better your blood sugar control is, the way lower your risk is of retinopathy down the road. The reverse is also true. If your control early on is poor, you're much more likely to have problems down the road.
Is there a cure for glaucoma?
Again, there's no cure for glaucoma, but there are very good management strategies. And the key thing with glaucoma is reducing the pressure inside the eye and improving the perfusion of blood to the optic nerve. So when the pressure goes up, it damages the nerve. And as a result of the nerve being damaged, your visual field constricts. So there's no cure, but there are very good ways today of dealing with it. Drops, laser. Laser has actually become the first treatment now. And then different tubes and shunts and stents that can reduce the pressure.
Hi, is it worth getting laser if you're 47 years of age? Will it last or will your eyesight degenerate more to the point of it not being worth the investment?
So that's such a good question. So corneal laser surgery is completely permanent on the cornea. We've seen patients treated 25 years ago, and whatever the change was then is still present today. What changes over time is your lens inside the eye. So the lens inside your eye has the same origins as skin and nails and hair, so it never stops growing. So as the lens continues to change, you're going to find that your eyesight changes. So that normally happens around about your mid-40s when you can't read anymore. And it also depends on the rate of regression or the way it might regress. Depends on what you're starting off with. But for myopia, it's very, very stable. A very important part at the time of your assessment is to put a drop in the eye that paralyzes your lens. And you can then compare your prescription without the drop-in and with the drop-in. And the more they are alike, the more permanent the result's going to be. If there's a big difference between those two measurements, that's got to be taken into account with the planning for the procedure.
Can you ask Arthur about floaters? I have them many years now, and they're really impacting my daily life. Should I have them removed? I've been told they're too big for laser surgery. That's from Richard.
Right, Richard. Yeah, floaters can be very, very bothersome. And if laser surgery is not ideal for you, the only way you can get rid of them if you're going to do something is a vitrectomy. We're speaking a lot about vitrectomy today. And vitrectomy is a procedure where the gel inside the back of the eye is removed. And then it can be very, very clear. But it's got an increased risk of cataract, and it may even have an increased risk of retinal detachment. So it's not commonly done in Ireland. There's some clinics around the world where they do this, without thinking about it. But I think it does make sense that you think about it carefully. And most retinal surgeons would say to you, don't do it now, because it's very likely to spontaneously improve when the jelly detaches, when you get a vitreous detachment. But I would have at least 5 patients a year who have been persisting with the problem for 5 years, and eventually I send them to a retinal specialist who agrees to remove them.
Can I get laser treatment for an astigmatism if I have eye pressure on the high side of normal? I'm in my mid-30s.
So there are a couple of reasons why the pressure might be high. The most common one is going to be in your 30s. It's going to be you just have a very thick cornea, and so it measures falsely high, and then you're very suitable for laser. But what you want to do before you do any kind of elective surgery is figure out why your pressure's high. If the pressure's high, treat it. If the pressure's high just because of a thick cornea, then you have lots of options with laser.
And maybe a final one. I'm a 50-year-old woman. I've been short-sighted for most of my life. Can laser surgery fix age-related deterioration? And that screen just jumped there. Of my close-up vision, I only have when I wear corrected lenses, and short-sightedness, or can both be corrected? I'm not sure that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. I understand where she's coming from. So there are two ways to correct that with laser. The one would be lasering the one eye for distance vision and the other eye for near vision. That's called blended vision. And the other way, if the person finds that too disturbing, that the difference between the two eyes is annoying, you can laser both eyes for distance vision, and then do an additive technique to the reading eye by adding a small piece of corneal tissue centrally in the pupil. And again, that's reversible. And what that does is it gives you improved reading vision in that eye, but hardly degrades that eye's distance vision at all. That's called Alitex. And that's another one of the procedures that is gaining interest because it's reversible.
This is the final one. I'm in medically induced menopause after cancer, and I suffer from many menopausal symptoms like itchy, irritated eyes. I'm 41. Any advice?
So the main thing I would think there is it's probably all related to eye dryness. And the moment your eyes are dry, you're more susceptible to all kinds of things, including allergens and so forth. So the number one thing would be is to work on your tears. Do all the research you can on how to improve your the tear form. Things like warm compresses and compression of the little glands that produce more oil.
All right, Arthur. We've loads more coming in, but no more time. Dr. Arthur Cummings, who's consultant ophthalmic surgeon and medical director at the Wellington Eye Clinic at the Beacon. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.